For those of you that are listening to the streamed audio, you're going to miss my beginning, but because I forgot to turn the recorder on. Our nature seeks to find normalcy. Just find it on Facebook Live. If we read verse 1 here. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. The women were seeking closure. Mark 16, verse 1 says they brought spices so that they might anoint Jesus' body. No, I have it right here. Oh, all right. Louder. All right. No problem. All right. Thank you. They brought spices so that they might anoint the body. It was the only way that they could honor his death. Many of us find comfort, strangely comforting, a wake or a funeral. And one of the heartbreaking realities of this pandemic in hot spots like New York City, like Italy, like China, they're not having funerals. They're not getting together to grieve. So all these women wanted to do was to grieve. But then God disrupts their plan. Matthew records that there was a second earthquake. Matthew 27:54, on Good Friday, we looked at that passage. It said that there was an earthquake, that the earth shook. And when the centurion who saw the earthquake, he realized along with the others, "Sir, surely this man is the Son of God." But this time, we're given the reason for the seismic activities. If you look at verse 2, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. And going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. When God sent a messenger to roll away the stone, the earth shook. Life was disrupted. An angel comes down. A terrifying development. We can tell that because if we look at verses 3 and 4, his appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. These guards were an elite security force. We know that because Matthew 27:65, Pilate says, "Take a guard, go and make the tomb as secure as you know how." He tells his security force, "Do whatever it takes. No expense should be spared. There's a rumor out there that the disciples are going to steal the body. Make sure that they don't." And what happens to this elite security force? The earth shakes, the stone moves, an angel sits on a rock, and they shake, they quake. Not only does God stir the ground, but he stirs their fear, and they become like dead men, paralyzed with fear, lying on the ground as if dead. Now we know that they are merely stunned, that when the angel disappears, when the angel goes back to heaven, they, according to the other gospel accounts, they leave. But Matthew tells us later, they run off and they tell their supervisor, and their supervisor tells Pilate. And then they're bribed to lie. So now, here's these women that are seeking some closure, seeking some normalcy, seeking what would be the way of life. And between them and Jesus, according to what they are thinking, is this angel. He is sitting on the rock at the entrance of the tomb. In order to get past, in order to get to where Jesus was, they'd need to go by him. Now they've already seen these guards paralyzed on the ground. What do you do when God disrupts your pursuit of normalcy? There seems to be two choices. You can resist God's will and develop denial and doubt and discouragement. Or you can submit to God's will. And there's no telling what could happen. Well, the women choose to trust God. The second point I want to make in this passage is that our purpose is found in God's plans. Our nature seeks to find normalcy. And sometimes God disrupts the normal course of things. We are in the midst of one of those situations where God has disrupted the course of our normalcy. And try as much as we want to, we cannot find normalcy. So what do? Do we pretend that everything's okay? Or do we go with God's plan? And the truth is, our purpose is found in God's plan. The angel tells them in verse 5, "Do not be afraid. Fear not. You have nothing to be afraid of, because I know why you are here. I know what you're trying to do. These guards, they are not here for the same reason you're here. I know that you have come to seek Jesus. But he's not here." The angel says, if I can paraphrase what this messenger is saying, despite your perception, nothing has changed. It is still the same as it was a week ago, a year ago, 100 years ago. God's plan and purposes have not changed. Listen to what the angel says. "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Just as he said. Matthew records 3 times that Jesus said that he would be raised to life. Matthew 16:21, "On the third day be raised to life." Matthew 17:23, "On the third day he will be raised to life." Matthew 20:19, "On the third day he will be raised to life." Why are you looking for, I know you're looking for him here. Why are you looking for him here? If you're looking for Jesus, you should know he's not here. He has risen just as he said. Now, the angel didn't have to say anything more than that. But let me ask you, other than these three statements, on the third day he will be raised to life, on the third day he will be raised to life, on the third day he will be raised to life, what else did Jesus say? One of these phrases, on the third day, Matthew 20, 19, on the third day he will be raised to life. Immediately following, Matthew 20, 28, I have come not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. I am going to pay the price of deliverance. As I just said, on the third day I will rise, but I am going to pay for deliverance. Just the night before, the night before the cross, his last gathering with his disciples, Matthew 26, 28. This is the covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. We ought to remember why he died. He died so that our sins might be forgiven, so that the anger, the wrath of God might be satisfied, and only an offering of blood satisfies. But we also ought to remember the words that he said. I am going to be handed over. I am going to be beaten. I am going to be crucified. And on the third day, I will rise. The angel tells them, you have to change your perspective of what normal is to align with God's. That Easter tells us that death is not the end. We don't need closure from death, because death is not the final door. We need to know Jesus so that we can face death the way God intended. The angel then tells them that God has a purpose for them in that moment. Go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I tell you. This final word, now I have told you, is not a, oh, by the way, now I'm done. I'm out of here. I've said my piece. It is, hold on to, take in what I have said. Let that carry you. Let that sustain you. Behold, I have told you. Hear. He is risen, and he is going ahead of you, and there you will see him. The women's relationship with Jesus did not need closure. It needed disclosure. And therefore they went away with fear. The NIV here says that in verse 8, the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. It actually literally says filled with fear and great joy. These two competing emotions. They went away with fear. This awesome reverence, this awareness of God's power, this awareness that the grave has been conquered and all that that means. We ought to be thinking this morning that it's a little frightening, the power that God holds. That He can conquer death. But that fear ought not to disable us like it did the guards. It ought to enthuse us, indwell us, so that we have overwhelming delight. Certainly overwhelming reverence, but that is balanced with overwhelming delight. The power that God has to raise Christ from the dead is also the power that raises us from the dead. And what do you do when God gives you a message? Will you be gripped with fear? Or will you be filled with joy? Or maybe, like the women, it will be a mix of both. Our third point, our journey will follow Jesus. While our desire, our nature tells us to find normalcy, when we follow God's plan and purpose for us, it always involves following Jesus. Now, oftentimes we may use that phrase, I'm following Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. Meaning, I'm going to keep track of what Jesus is doing. I'm going to live my life according to Jesus, but I'm talking actually and literally. Because one of the things that is said here, which is fascinating to me, is that Jesus precedes us. There is still work to be done. And there is still ministry to carry out. The celebration has not stopped. And the ministry has not ceased. Despite what the women thought, maybe despite what we think. The women hurried off just as the angel commanded them. They ran to tell the disciples, He is risen and He is going ahead of you to Jerusalem, to Galilee. There were still celebrations to enjoy, for the blessings of God had not ceased either. They meet Jesus on the way. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, or joy, or rejoice. Sort of like this jovial, exciting, how are you? Great to see you. Good day. Greetings. And they worship Him immediately. They seize His feet. They grasp His heels and worship Him. And He directs them to fulfill God's purpose. Just as the angel had said, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. Notice they are brothers. Despite denials, despite desertion, Jesus looks at them as brothers and says, they will see me there. Jesus is going before his disciples. When they get to Galilee, Jesus will be there. Death would not keep Jesus from his family. And the fact is that wherever we go, Easter promises that Jesus precedes us. Are you afraid to step into the future? Remember that what Jesus said to the woman. There they will see me. Our sermon in a sentence is this. Easter reminds us that wherever we are, wherever we're going, Jesus is already there. Going to Galilee? Jesus will go before you. Entering a season of separation? Jesus is already there. Facing the pains of death? Jesus leads the way. Easter reminds us that wherever we're going, Jesus is already there. So as we celebrate this abnormal Easter, perhaps we can agree that it is not as strange as we think. That it is just like the first. Remember what Jesus said. I am going to die. I am going to rise. And I am going before you. What good news is that? Let us celebrate what Easter really represents. That death is not the most powerful force in the universe. Love is. The love of Christ that compelled him to the cross. The love of God that raised him from the dead. And now he goes before us. No matter where the path may lead. Easter reminds us that wherever we are going, Jesus is already there. Shall we pray?